Good. All right. Thank you, Mark and Miriam. I don't go on Facebook, but Delaine does, and she sees all these Skypes and things. And I hope you heard Miriam Moon's Christmas concert from her home on her new piano. It was outstanding. And if she just had Ted there to sing with her, it would have made it even better. But it was outstanding. So just look for that next Christmas if the Lord lingers. Well, tonight I want to start a series on Satan's sly lies. And the first one I want to talk to tonight is about is just it's sort of a basic message, foundational message. Your heart is all that matters. And you'll turn to John chapter 8, verse 32, and we'll look at John 14, 6, and also in 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. Fred Holloman was an outstanding Southern Baptist preacher. He went home to be with the Lord in 2018. He had the distinguished honor of serving as the chaplain for the Upper House of Kansas for 30 years. That's the equivalent of being the chaplain for the state senate and the state house of representatives in Kansas. He was well known for his poetic prayers that were sometimes humorous, but they resonated serious truth. He wrote a book several years ago and published it. It's called The Book of Uncommon Prayers. And on one occasion, here's the way he opened the prayer for the Senate as they came together in Kansas. Omniscient Father, help us to know who's telling the truth. One side tells us one thing and the other just the opposite. And if neither side is telling the truth, we'd like to know that too. And if each side is telling half the truth, give us the wisdom, put the right halves together in Jesus' name. Amen. I love that. That's a prayer worth repeating over and over from the heart in the House and the Senate in Washington, D.C. Lying has become a way of life in America. But they're lies that we've believed all our lives. They're lies that were taught to us by our culture. They're lies that are taught to us by our parents, having something to do with losing your teeth. You learn to look at John chapter 8 and you look at verse 32. Well, look at verse 31. To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teachings, you're really my disciples, then you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. How many times have you heard this? It doesn't matter what you believe or how you live, just so long as you are sincere. Life is all about the heart. In our society, if you're an atheist, a Buddhist, a Muslim, it doesn't matter. Just so you're sincere, we're all going to the same place. Well, for the next several weeks, I want to examine some of the myths we've learned through the years that most people accept as the truth. First of all, seeking the truth. Romans chapter 1, verse 25 says this, instead of believing what they knew was the truth about God, they deliberately chose to believe lies. God says searching for the truth is a choice. God says he'll make known the truth to us, and he has made it known, but there comes a time in our lives when we have to break the lies that bind and embrace the truth that reveals it to us. I mean, I've talked to some people, and they think Elvis is alive, and he's in the house. I'm absolutely astounded at how many people think their pets are real persons. God's going to hold us responsible for our beliefs. You can't blame your beliefs on your parents, on your teachers, or anybody else. You got to be responsible for what you believe. But not only is it important because God will hold us responsible, it's important because our actions are determined by our beliefs. I want you to write this down. Proverbs 4:23. Be careful how you think, because your life is shaped by your thoughts. For example, if you think you're a clumsy person, you're going to be a clumsy person. If you think you're going to be unsuccessful, you're going to be unsuccessful. If you think you just don't measure up to all other people, you're going to have yourself a big, poor self-image. If you think everybody else is a crook and you treat them like that, finally, people are going to treat you in the same manner. You see, every action in our life, every fear we have, every doubt we have is a result of what we believe. There's so many people that say they're born-again Christians that don't believe once saved, always saved. The Bible, the New Testament, very clearly teaches once saved, always saved. But listen to me very, very carefully. If you don't believe once saved, always saved, you doubt your salvation because you don't know from day to day when you're saved or when you're lost. And I've noticed something about salesmen. If they don't believe in the product, they can't sell it. And if you can't believe in the security of the believer, you will not share your faith. So we look here very carefully, and we see that in America that much of our culture is revealed and shaped by talk shows on television. Some of them in the afternoon, some of them at night. I don't know about you, but I don't waste a whole lot of time watching those things. But one pastor said that he wrote down 10 things that talk shows on TV in the afternoon and night are really teaching our society. He said, number one, they will teach you that all your problems are somebody else's fault. The second thing is, the world owes you happiness. It doesn't owe you happiness. Sometimes a couple will come to me and say, we're just not happy anymore. We're getting a divorce. God is not concerned about your happiness. God is concerned about your obedience. And the happiness will follow. Number three, he wrote this down. He said, you will be happy if you get everything that you want. Ladies and gentlemen, I know some of the most miserable people in the world that are some of the most wealthy people that you might know. Number four, there's never any reason to feel guilty about anything. Number five, this is really a good one. Man is basically good and unselfish. What planet are you living on? Listen carefully. Number six, all beliefs are equally valid. You hear it over and over. That's not one of the sly lies of Satan. Number seven, pornography and perversion, they're innocent and harmless. Number eight, you can have it all. Number nine, you shouldn't have to wait for anything in life. And number 10, the answer is within you for all of your problems. Well, if it were in you, you would have already figured everything out. Amen? You'd already know all the answers. The answer is within you. The answer is in the Word of God. If it lies within you, then you wouldn't need God's Word. But the Bible says, beware of false teachings. Our culture has placed a lot of beliefs on us that are absolutely untrue. Also, a lack of fulfillment, a lack of peace, and a lack of happiness is caused by false beliefs. Let's just take the issue of abortion. Well, Scripture makes it clear that life begins when? At conception. Science now has the ability to let us know with the sonograms and with other equipment to let us know that life begins at conception, and that mom is not carrying a fetus. That mother is carrying a baby. Listen carefully. Yet we've got politicians and a large number of liberals in our country that believe that abortion is simply a woman's right to choose. People are going to get violent with you if you don't agree with their opinion on their position. Biblically and medically, if you support, listen, biblically and medically, if you support abortion, you're pretty ignorant and uninformed about when life really starts. Dr. Chris Thurman is one of the eminent psychologists in America. He wrote this, truth is the roadmap for negotiating the difficult challenges of life. Without truth, we get lost and develop emotional problems that tell us we are lost. We often settle for half truth or no truth at all because they're usually easier. But truth is the only path. And the good news is that truth is available to anybody who wants it, which also means that emotional health is possible for anyone. The real question is, am I willing to pay the price? Jesus said the same thing when he said, you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So my goal in this message is to unveil some of the lies that have been taught and to give God's word of truth in regard to those lies so that we can replace as many of those lies as we can. For instance, I want you to write this down, the starting place of truth in John 14:6. Jesus answered and said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. Now listen to me carefully. And political correctness argues with this, and they're always biblically wrong. Truth is exclusive. Truth is never inclusive. Truth is exclusive, not inclusive. And the starting point of truth for life is Jesus Christ. There's only one starting point of truth, and there's only one way of salvation, and that's Jesus. That's all people, that's all races, that's all social, economic, nationalities, one source of truth only, one way of salvation. And I want you to see that, first of all, the source of absolute truth. That's not in your outline, but source of absolute truth. Jesus says, I am the truth. In Romans 4:24, God will continue to be true even when every man is false. That's the authority, that's the standard by which we can base our lives. We're going to make a choice. We got to choose between the Word and the world. You're going to have to choose between Christ, or you're going to have to choose between culture. I don't know if you read this over the weekend, but you'll see where Colorado and Illinois have passed a new curriculum for their public education system. They're going to offer a course. Kids are going to have to be taught it. It's all about LGBT persons who have done great things in America. Bottom line is not to show the successes of people from the LGBT community. It's trying to teach your kids that that is a normal, natural, right way that you ought to live, which is contrary to the truth in the Word of God. One thing I've observed, even among Christian parents, even among some who have been in this church and left, and some who might still be here, there are a lot of parents who are letting their children lead them, and their children are following our culture of political correctness. It's really sad. Many times the truth of Jesus Christ goes counter to what we've been taught. It goes counter to popular opinion. And one of the reasons it's hard to discover the truth and hard to follow the truth, because it's not a popular decision to follow the truth. Not only is Jesus absolute truth, but he is the source of, you want to write this down, unchanging truth. The problem with going by the wisdom of the world, the problem by going with the culture, is that the culture is constantly changing. I was reading some education research lately, and I know that we don't print many textbooks anymore. You pull them all up on your smart pad. I understand that. But if we were printing textbook now, the average science book would stay in print for 18 months, and then it would be totally outdated because all we're learning. Hairstyles changed. You pull up in a mall parking lot, look at the SUV next to you, and just happen to notice the color of the lady's hair? Nuclear red. I don't even think that's a color. Patsy would know back there, but I mean just glowing red. Got to be a nuclear generator in there somewhere. And then some people have rainbow hair. It's just, styles change, music changes, fashions go in and out, but God's wisdom is unchanging. It's always the same. In Luke 21:33, though all of heaven and earth shall pass away, My word will remain forever. It is absolute truth. It's unchanging truth. What I believe from Jesus Christ, what I believed about him and his word 30 years ago is still true as when I first believed it. It's not only absolute truth, not only unchanging truth, but I want you to know it's the source, and Jesus is the source of transforming truth. Truth is not just something you believe. Truth is something that you practice. Truth is something you follow. And here's what Jesus says. Everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on a rock. Just mark this down. Did you know that 80 times in the New Testament, Jesus said, I tell you the truth. Verily, verily, I say unto you, I tell you the truth. 80 times Jesus said, I tell you the truth. I tell you the truth. I tell you the truth. 20 times Jesus said, you've heard that it was said, but I say to you. But I say unto you, you have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say unto you that whoever looks upon a woman and lusts after her in his heart has committed adultery already with her in his heart. And so Jesus expanded truth. Jesus revealed the truth, and he made even more clearly the truth. There's a man named Chris Lehane. He's a Harvard-trained attorney, and here's his specialty. He specializes in helping high-profile Americans like politicians and movie stars repair their damaged image. You'll recognize this. He's an expert, listen to this, in opposition research. I've never heard of that before. But listen carefully. He wrote a book called Masters of Disaster, The Ten Commandments of Damage Control. Listen to me carefully. How many of you heard of that show called Empire? You know what I'm talking about? Do you recognize the name Jesse Smollett? He represented Jesse Smollett to restore his reputation. March of 2019, Lehane, the lawyer, noted that image repair is now different than it was because truth has become so subjective these days. What is perceived as wrong by some, he says, is perfectly fine with others. So the standards have disappeared, and the celebrities basically just bide their time until the news cycle shifts its focus to somebody else. When truth is reclassified as subjective, it's anything but truth. Our politically correct society wants to control what you think, what you say, what you believe. But as Christians, God's word is truth. And that's why the truth that transforms is the truth of Christ, and that's the truth that has power. And you know, when you think about it, culture changes a little bit, but parenting principles remain the same. Culture keeps changing, but I want you to know that building a marriage, the principles remain the same because God wrote the instruction book. We're still wired the same way. Even we're saved, we still have a sin nature. And that sin nature and that new nature wrestling against each other. And he's given us the instructions on how to have successful marriages. It is truth that'll never pass away. Jesus said, if you'll build your house on this truth, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like the man who built his house on the rock. Jesus is the source of truth. He never changes. The word never changes. Now, the other thing we've got to do, if we're going to stand against Satan's sly lies that he's working into our families and into our lives through this politically correct culture, is we've got to submit to the truth. Romans 12:2 says this, do not conform to the standards or beliefs of the world, but let God transform you inwardly by a complete change of your mind. The first secret to breaking the lies that bind us, the lies of Satan, if you're sincere in your belief, listen carefully, look at that little word in that verse there. He says, let God transform you inwardly. The word let the truth of God transform you inwardly by a complete change of your mind. Now, what does that mean? Number one, you've got to know the truth. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 4:3, there's coming a time when people won't listen to the truth. Ladies and gentlemen, just turn on TV when you get home tonight. Go to the Inspiration Channel. Go to a Christian channel. And I'm amazed at what passes for preaching the Word of God. Delaine was telling me that Ed Young Sr., pastor in Houston, Texas, he'd been there forever. He's a great, great guy. He's got a strong church. He's probably been there at least 35 years. She said she heard him preaching on the radio the other day. Now, he sound biblically. But he was hitting on denying yourself, taking up the cross, and following me. That was the theme. And she said he was saying that the reason why our choirs are dwindling in number is because people who are actually called to sing in the choir have got better things to do on Wednesday night. We require a 1-hour rehearsal, so they're basically just not going to come because they got something they want to do. Said, now, we're not going to come on Sunday night because we got friends we got to get together with. We got something else we got to do. I said, wow, he's meddling now. People are going to quit coming to his church. And then he said this. He said, we can't get all of our deacons in a deacon's meeting once a month or once every 2 months because most of them got something else they want to do. He said, I even had 3 of my deacons a couple of years ago on the last Sunday, the weekend, the Masters Tournament final round. It appeared there was going to be a playoff. And he said, we had an important spiritual decision to make with our church, and we needed all of our deacons there. He said, 3 of my deacons on Sunday morning said, we won't be at the deacons meeting tonight because the Masters Golf Tournament's going until playoff, and we want to see it. You're not going to hear a lot of that on television. People quit coming to your church if you preach like that. I know I'm killing this church faster than I believe I ever have before because I say just a few things out there. But listen to me carefully. He says here there's coming a time when people are not going to listen to the truth. Ladies and gentlemen, we have arrived. 68% of people choose a church home because their family and friends go there. It has nothing to do with the Word of God. 18% of people that join a church today join because of the kind of music they have. Only 9% join a church because of Bible-based preaching. And I won't call his name, but he has lots of churches all around this state. Runs 22,000 combined on Sunday mornings at all of his locations. He's located near a lot of our big Georgia Baptist, Southern Baptist churches, and stolen most of their members. And in one of his books, he said, do not preach expository messages, chapter by chapter, verse by verse, or you will kill your church. That's the kind of churches we're raising now. People won't listen to the Bible, but they're blindly going to follow their own ideas. And so you have to be committed in your heart, knowing the truth from the Word of God. For somebody whose message is exactly what you want it to be, but looking for teaching that tells you exactly what the truth is, and let the chips fall where they may, you've got to be committed to know the truth, even when it's not popular. You know, a lot of us don't want to know the truth. We don't want to know about the truth about our parents. Some of us don't want to know the truth about ourselves. Every now and then I have one or two little accountability partners, and I'll call them in. I say, hey, what's my biggest problem? And they'll tell me. They'll tell you, you need to work on that. You know, I really don't like to hear that, but you know what? It's necessary. It's like looking in the mirror in the morning. It'd be best, if you have any hair left, it'd be best in the best interest of people who have to see you the rest of the day if you look in a mirror, if you're honest with yourself. You know, people don't really want to know a whole lot about God. People don't want to know about living a holy life. People don't want to know much about sin. A lot of people don't want to hear about truth, about our problems and our needs. But you never break down those lies that bind us, that cause unhappiness, until we know and accept the truth. Listen to what Paul said. We've got to have a commitment to obey the truth. Ephesians 4, 14 and 15. Then we will no longer be like children, forever changing our minds about what we believe because someone has told us something different or because someone has cleverly lied to us and made the lie sound like the truth. We will lovingly follow the truth at all times, speaking truly, dealing truly, living truly, and become more and more in every way like Christ. You know, I can remember, I guess it was back in the 70s. I'm not sure of that. But the Living Bible translation came out. Now, that was a big deal. But it's one thing to own a Living Bible, and it's another thing to be a Living Bible. There's a difference. And then we need to choose the truth. Make a commitment to choose the truth. 2 Thessalonians 2:13, you're saved. You become a child of God by committing yourself and believing and choosing the truth. You're saved by the Spirit that makes you holy and your faith in the truth. Now, what is your faith in the truth? What is the truth? Jesus said, I am the truth. When I'm talking about being committed to the truth, I'm talking about being committed to Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Now, who else could make such an astounding claim? You know, you can get somebody stand up here and say, well, I've lived a perfect life and I'm a prophet. All these other things, and what we need to do is get the ushers to come forward and remove them from the platform. But Jesus could stand here and said, I am the truth, I embodied the truth, I incarnated the truth. And Jesus said, if you want to go to heaven, if you want to have your sins forgiven, if you want to have your hang-ups made right, if you want to have your sins taken away, if you want to have your past wiped out, if you want to have real peace in your heart, you got to commit yourself to me because I am the truth. Now, the devil's going to try to make you think there's some other way except Jesus. There's some other way to happiness. There's some other way to eternal life. But the Bible says you got to be committed to the truth. Now, the amazing thing is God will let you believe anything you want to believe. God has given us choice. We're not robots. You can believe whatever you want to believe. You can even be sincere about things you want to believe that are not real truth. Doesn't matter what you believe, that you're going to be saved in the end just because you're sincere. But I want you to know if you want to believe that, God's going to let you suffer the consequences in the end. The thing is, we've got to commit ourselves to the truth, to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to live my part. My life apart from Jesus. Some people say, I want to live separate from Jesus. God, Christ will let you do that. But one day you'll spend eternity in a place called hell. You know, we're in this society, and this society is just patterned after lies. And we just feel outnumbered. You ever feel outnumbered? And well, Jesus told us we're going to be outnumbered. He said, wide is the way and broad is the path that leads to destruction. And how many are going to be there? Many. It's going to look like Atlanta traffic. 5 o'clock on Friday afternoon. It's crowded. But he said, straight is the way and what narrow is the path that leads to life. And how many? Few there be that find it. So let's just stop having a pity party. We're to be lights in the darkness of this world. I was reading the other day a man in his 1965 novel, The Source, a man named James Michener. used his craft of mixing, now listen carefully, facts and fiction to tell the history of Israel. Now in this book, it's 909 pages. And I don't recommend that you read 3 minutes of it a day, or 5 minutes Monday through Friday and try to finish in a while. In fact, I wouldn't read it at all, but here's what he did. He used the fictional backdrop of an archaeological dig in Israel, and he created characters to give life to the history and the relics known to exist during various historical time periods. Early in this massive book, Michener tells of a man named Urbal, U-R-B-A-A-L, who worships a pagan goddess of fertility. And as Urbal and his community try to appease the gods and gain favor, they are encouraged to offer their children as a burnt offering before this god of fertility. Urbal comes along with his wife, and he says, I want to offer our 3-year-old son. And so he places the 3-year-old son on the flaming altar and offers his son as a burnt sacrifice. For doing this, Urbal found out that he could spend a week with one of the temple prostitutes. He got really excited. His wife wasn't very thrilled about her husband spending a week in this temple with another woman. Michener then writes this telling commentary, quote, with different gods, her husband Urbal would have been a different man. Who we worship defines us. And with Christ, we are indeed different. We're made brand new in Him. What's wrong in our society? Well, sin. What's wrong in our society? Why do people act the way they do? Do you know how many people in our nation worship themselves? It's what I want to do. I am my own God. There are no absolute rights. There are no absolute wrongs. That's another sly lie of Satan. And people act the way they do because they believe what they believe, that they're their own gods. But you and I are supposed to be different as Christians. And we unmask those lies with the Word of God, with the truth, Jesus Christ. And who we worship, and who we love, and who we obey should form our beliefs, which in turn produces our behavior. Now we need to be very, very careful about the way we live. We don't want to be combative. We don't want to be people that are like sandpaper people. But ladies and gentlemen, we've got to be bold enough that when we hear people say, when we tell them a little bit about Jesus and they look at you and say, oh, it's the heart that really matters. That's it. We've got to be willing to obey God in the Great Commission and let them know that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Him. We're not all going to the same place. In about 3 weeks, I'm going to start a series here on Sunday mornings. It's just entitled, Who's Your One? And for 4 Sunday mornings, I'm going to talk to you about picking one person that you want to begin praying about that needs to be saved, and praying for your opportunity and what to say to encounter them. But one of those Sundays is not going to be real popular. One of the reasons we don't get the truth high and lifted up to lost people is because we don't really believe in hell. Your church growth experts in the contemporary church now said, do not preach on sin. Do not preach on hell. Ladies and gentlemen, hell is as real as heaven. And it's time that we realized if we don't get the truth to people, they're going to spend eternity in eternal flames, separated from God and their loved ones and friends who knew Jesus as Savior and Lord. Satan's sly lies are all unmasked by the truth from the Word and by Jesus himself. We stand.